Good evening, everyone. My name is Jeffrey Combs. I am the president and founder of Golden Mastermind Seminars Incorporated. Welcome to the Tuesday night More Heart Than Talent Mindset Call. It's going to be a fabulous call this evening, a topic I have never covered. I'm going to cover the psychology of attention and why it is imperative, important, and paramount, three synonyms, that you become very skilled at being attentive and mastering attention. Not the kind of attention where you're at attention, but you're very attentive. It means you're an acute listener. You have memory skills, and you're able to take a conversation to the next level because you're able to hear what's meant, not what is said. This call is officially being recorded and will be available for playback on Podomatic tomorrow. You can find out how to download that directly if you're a Facebook friend of mine at around 9 o'clock Pacific Standard Time, 12 Eastern. The call goes up for download and replay. The most played back call in the history of my Tuesday night calls a month and a half ago was C.G. Siddons. We had in the hundreds of downloads the following day, and that call continues to receive downloads. Next Tuesday night, my featured guest will be Corey Shaines. Corey and I have a long history going back almost 10 years when Corey was in his early 20s, just out of high school, when he started his real estate and then his then real estate career, which then led him to his internet marketing career. Corey is a multiple six- and seven-figure income earner online and the co-owner of the brand CleanFoodCrush.com. Corey will be covering in detail how to take an idea to a brand and unequivocally how to monetize that, and we'll also be sharing with you selling online marketing and some skills to create traffic and leads. I really watched Corey in the last few years take his game to the next level. Dr. Joe Dispenza was scheduled for next week's call. His assistant let me know that he would not be available as he was flying back. He is rescheduling. He is officially booked for the Meadowlands April 15th. I spoke with Alexis Romano today. Alexis and I will be hosting the great Dr. Joe Dispenza 2017. Tickets will be going on sale in the very near present, not the near future, but the very near present. In about a week or so, we will start releasing tickets. We have 550 seats for that event. We'll be selling tickets for the first few rows and then general admission tickets. Tickets are going to be a very, very reasonable price and a great opportunity for you to see three millionaires, specifically Dr. Joe Dispenza, Alexis Romano, and myself. This Saturday, my good friend Frank from Albany will be hosting me. He'll be the first time he'll be hosting me in Albany, the second time I've spoken in Albany, New York. Thank you very much, Frank Pecoraro, for being a first-class human being and hosting me. Mr. Joe DiBianca will be my host on August 27th in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. I'll be sharing the stage with Don Ferrantino. Don is an exceptional multiple six-figure income earner who's also been a guest on this call, and I've spoken multiple times with her in the last 2 years. September 17th, I'll be in Clark, New Jersey with Don. Tickets are already starting to sell out for that event. There will be standing room only for that event. September 24th, my first ever trip to Portsmouth, New Hampshire. It's about an hour, I believe, from Boston, Massachusetts. The exceptional young superstar, Abby O'Neill, who is crushing it, is hosting me with her team in Portsmouth, New Hampshire. October 1st, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, Jeremy Engel. Thank you very much. Long Island, New York, October 8th. One of my favorite places to speak with Kelly Bartoletti and Joy Schoenholtz. Joy is absolutely crushing it also. Many of you on tonight's line are crushing it. Congratulations. And if you haven't crushed yet, you're in the process of crushing. April or October 15th, Carlotta Davis, first class woman, great client and friend, along with Jennifer Trinkner and Bridget Bartley, I will be in Columbia, South Carolina. And Carlotta is the host of the event and a first-class woman. October 22nd, I'm going to host myself in Tampa, Florida, and I will be sharing the stage with C.G. Siddons. October 29th, Missoula, Montana. That is the home of where the movie A River Runs Through It with Brad Pitt was filmed, that Robert Redford produced with John Skerritt in 1994. November 12th, I'm about to fill in. That's the only date I have left this year. November 19th, Weehawken. December 3rd, Atlanta. And I will wrap out the year in beautiful Fort Lauderdale, Florida with Dawn Ferrantino. I'll be ending the year on December 17th. Have a whole host of events ready for you in 2017. We've already passed the halfway mark of the year of our Lord, 2016. Tonight's content is dedicated to memory, listening, details, attention, being attentive, and taking your listening and emotional skills to the next level. Now, if you have lived checked out, or if you have witnessed other people are checked out, then you know how much of society is checked out. I had a classic conversation with Alexis today, and it was an OMG moment because both she and I were discussing about how much of society is checked out. How many of you have noticed that? If you're on a train, a subway, an airline, an airplane, you're on a boat, you're in a car, you have seen how much of society is checked out. They're overwhelmed neurologically and emotionally in a state of emotional addictions where they're not present or attentive, and you'll see a lot of people that are sleepwalking through life. This type of emotional state leads to addictions. It leads to depression, it leads to schizophrenia, and all types of other medical situations that keep people tiptoeing quietly through life, unfortunately, arriving safely at their grave, living the greatest pain, the pain of regret. Tonight's call, attention is a skill, being attentive. Now, if you grew up in a household with violence, a household that there was dysfunction, a household with addictions, a household where you had to take on a role that wasn't favorable or a role that robbed you of your innocence, there's a high probability that you have lost some of your attention to detail because that created a state of overwhelm. Overwhelm is a neurological condition that takes you out of the flow of the life. It takes you to a state of repressed feelings. It keeps you in a state of fight or flight, and it keeps you from being attentive. If you are overwhelmed, there's a high probability that you will miss a large percent of a conversation because you're concerned with getting in trouble, making a mistake, being perfect, being scripted, not offending someone, not bothering someone, or some other situation based on a past event. This keeps you very ineffective in sales, marketing, branding. It keeps you very ineffective as a human doing, or it can keeps you from being a human being and keeps you a human doing. And most importantly, if you find yourself checked out, there's a high probability not only are you overwhelmed, but you're probably over-obligated. If you are not attentive to details and you walk around the planet saying, I'm not a detail person, well, there's a high probability you'll find yourself late on payments, late on bills. You'll be unaware of your mortgage. You'll be unaware of your loan payments. You typically won't understand how much of your money goes to interest, how little of it goes to the principal. You'll spend a great deal of your time avoiding. And if you're a chronic avoider, chronic over-obligator, and you're chronically late, then there's a high probability that you have challenges with details and attention. If you have challenges with details and you're not detail conscious, there's also a high probability that you will not only be overwhelmed, but you'll be undisciplined and unorganized. And if you're unorganized, then you'll have challenges mastering the moving parts of life. Then you'll end up being behind, overwhelmed, and chronically late in many situations. Some of you are nodding your head. Let's take a look at two words that I love to graphically say with tone, checked out. Now, how many of you are recovering from being checked out? What does checked out mean? Checked out means analyzing, processing, getting overwhelmed, thinking, getting ready to get ready, avoiding to avoid, and procrastinating or procrastinari to avoid. How many of you grew up with checked out parents and you had to take on a role of being their parent or being a parent in your household or taking on a role that really robbed you of your innocence? How many of you had a parent or had someone in your household, brother, sister, mother, father, some situation that was chronically angry at you, and no matter what you did, it was never good enough. This creates a neurological condition that becomes a behavior, creates a low self-esteem that leads to repressed and or stuffed feelings that keep you from having an identity, having any dignity, any pride, and keeps you in a place called guilt. Now, if guilt is one of your prime emotions that keeps you overwhelmed, you'll have challenges asking, receiving, and deserving, specifically in a business forum, business format that requires you to become skilled at asking, skilled at prospecting, skilled at closing. It's not how do I, it's are you ready? When the pain is great enough is when most people are ready to commit. But if you're ready to commit tonight, congratulations, because now you've become commitment conscious, not commitment phobic. And if you live in a commitment phobic situation, then there's a high probability that you are checked out and you'll have challenges with the details. Organization is a skill. Unequivocally, Susan Sly is one of the most exceptional speakers that I've ever had the privilege of spending time on a stage with, in life with, traveling with, collaborating with, being friends with. But not only is she an exceptional woman, she's also very skilled at organization and teaching organization. Now, myself personally, I am organized. I live organized. Organization is a skill. Organization is a habit. Organization is an identity. Organization is fun for me. Organization is a detail for me. And I was born with it. With me, it is innate. My parents were not organized. My parents were, they were organized in isolated areas, and then the rest of the situation, there would be the way that many homes are. It'd have a level of chaos. My parents were organized, as I said, in isolated places, but they also had places where they would stuff situations. You're going to have your own situation. Take a look at how you grew up and to ask yourself, was I detailed? Did you have a parent that was detailed, organized, neurotic, a perfectionist, and then put you in a position to validate, justify, and explain yourself? Are you rebelling against the details? Are you so rebellious that you don't make your bed? Are you so rebellious that you don't have a spreadsheet? You have no idea where your money goes. You have no idea where your interest payment, where your principal payments goes with your money. And if that's one of the situations you're in, then you're chronically avoiding it. Attention is a skill. Where do you begin? You begin tonight. You begin right here, right now. You begin immediately after the call. Before you go to bed, you become more attentive. That means you become more aware. Now, awareness is the key to changing your energy, and when you change your energy, you will change what you attract. As you begin to transcend levels of consciousness, meaning you let go of anxiety, doubt, and fear, now you move into an emotional state called awareness. As you move into awareness, you raise your emotions, you raise your vibrations, you raise the way you feel about yourself. Specifically, it's how you feel about yourself. You can have success, but if you don't feel successful, then the success you have will be contradicted by your low self-esteem, and then you will find a way to disappoint yourself. You'll create a situation that always happens to you, and you don't pay attention to the details. And someone who's really detail conscious is also someone who's methodical. As you start to become methodical, have a method, have a system, have a routine, you start to enhance the law of averages of you starting to master the inner game. The inner game is where you have a different state of know, K-N-O-W, and you don't hear the word N-O. When you know that you know, then you let go of what you don't know. Then you won't ask someone, what do I do or how do I do it? It's not a how do I, it's an I am situation. When you live in an I am state, you are in the present. You are here and you are now. And then you're, not only have you raised your heightened sense of awareness, but your peripheral vision changes and all of a sudden you see the parking space that has been there for you every freaking time you go to the restaurant. Not only that, a whole different set of circumstances, a portal in the universe tends to open and people begin to show up because you become a lot more aware, a lot more detail conscious, a lot more methodical, systematic, and you start to live in relaxed routines. But if you are a winger, you attempt to wing it, then you are not going to be very attentive. You will make a lot of mistakes. Now, a large percent of the population lives in a mistake consciousness, meaning they have so much anxiety about making mistakes that they make mistakes to validate and justify being disappointed. Now, why does this happen to me or you? Is that what you're asking yourself? Because it's a conditioned behavior based on growing up with someone who is passive-aggressive, put you in a position to validate, justify, and explain yourself. Then you become chronic in the emotional state of validating, justifying, explaining, and specifically talking. If you're going to be a professional saleswoman, salesman, you're going to sell real estate, automobiles, mortgages, you're going to sell the dream, you're going to sell products, benefits, features, and services, you're going to sell some of the greatest wellness products, energy products, you're going to sell some of the greatest travel products, whatever it is you're marketing, branding, selling, and sharing, whatever you want to use that keeps you in a state of comfortability rather than a state of overwhelm, as you allow yourself to move into a place called ease, let go of your anxiety, and start to, and you're committed to learning the inner game of life, the inner game of business, the inner game of traffic, the inner game of lead generation, as you start to master an emotional state that allows you to live, be, and stay in that place that you don't get overwhelmed. So one of the times I'm going to ask you to come up on stage, and I'm going to ask Joe DiBianca next Saturday in Philadelphia. I'm going to ask Frank this Saturday in Albany, Frank, what are you doing to get overwhelmed? And Frank or Joe are going to say, Jeff, I no longer get overwhelmed. I'm going to say, why is that? Well, why would I want to be overwhelmed? See, when you start to understand that key right there, that is a choice. When you choose not to be overwhelmed, then the chemistry in your brain changes. You start to create a new feeling, a new neuron, wires and fires to a set of feelings that you start to create on command. You virtually move from being an addict into recovery. As you move into recovery, then you're in an I am state. I am letting go. I am in recovery. I am attracting to my reality quality, like-minded prosperity partners that I can collaborate with in business ventures and in life. As you begin to live in an I am and an I know, your energy shifts and all of a sudden they begin to show up. But you have to be able to go out in the jungle and hear the twig snap so that you understand he is out there. You want to be so attentive and so inattention and attention conscious and understand the details of attention. You start to trust your feelings. Being attentive is a trust state. It's a no state. When you're that kind of attentive, then you have a whole different level of auditory skills. It means your listening ability starts to become enhanced. Your ability to trust yourself, trust and listening come together. When trust, listening, and know come together, then you are in a no state, an I am state, and then you know that you know, and then you stop doubting what you did know, and then you live in a K-N-O-W state, you know. And when you know, you don't have to validate, justify, and explain yourself because you know. Well, how do you know that? I know. Well, how do you know it? I know it. See, when you know, that's a whole different state of intuition. That's extrasensory perception, i.e. the sixth sense. Then there becomes a place in that type of attention and that kind of attentiveness and that type of attention, you are so connected to source that there's no separation. When there's no separation between you and the outcome is already created before you even begin. So when you're putting on your shirt, your dress, your high heels, your boots, you're getting ready, you're getting dressed, you go to your car, you get in, whoever picks you up, the driver picks you up, your friend, you get in, you're so relaxed in your attention that you're able to hear multiple conversations going on at one time. When you're attentive, you also let go of talking too much. You don't have the same desire to have to be the issue, to have to be heard. You don't have to be disappointed. You're in a B state, and you're able to talk a lot less, be a lot more. You're able to capture a lot more attention. You're able to move conversation along much more quickly. You're able to let people go because you don't get attached to them. When you hear the whole conversation and are not attached to the outcome, then you hear what's meant, not what's said. Then you don't judge or gauge, you know. you're able to let someone go very quickly, very intuitively, without doubting what you just did. Wow, I hope I didn't make a mistake. That person could have been a superstar if I would have said the right thing. Being attentive is not right or wrong. Being attentive is a skill. And mastering attention is not paying attention. You don't buy attention. You are attentive. And as you become attentive and you're being attentive, then attention becomes an identity. Then your whole auditory skill begins to change. I received my degree from Northwest Missouri State University in 1979. I took 60 hours in college of required courses and another 60 hours of courses in my master. And fortunately for me, I didn't know this when I chose that master. A lot of my skills that I learned in college was how to write sales copy, how to be an on-air personality, how to be an exceptional listener, how to communicate, how to enhance the diaphragm of my stomach, how to speak with tone, and most importantly, how to understand and a more effective way to communicate. And I became a very, very skilled listener. I actually took one class in listening in school. I bought several books on that topic. And if you even go research the topic of listening, you'll find it's one of the most underdeveloped topics in personal development. Seldom will you find a book on a shelf. You can special order books on listening. I have 6 or 7 of them myself on how to become an effective listener. And I was speaking to a woman today who attended one of Dr. Joe's events. She went to one of his classes or one of his advanced courses where they spent 4 hours in meditation. Now, you say that to the average person, wow, that would be difficult. Actually, it's a very relaxed state that someone who's mastered their emotional state are able to meditate on command and be able to check in, not check out. They're so checked in, the time has a whole different meaning. It takes on a whole different level of quantum time in that kind of relaxed state. Now, when you're in that relaxed state, you're checked in, you're not checked out. How much of your life have you spent checked out? Well, if you have any addictions, then there's a high probability that you lie to yourself a lot. If you have any addiction, there's a high probability you do a lot of avoidance. If you have any money challenges, there's a high probability you're so checked out on your money challenges that you continue to tell yourself you don't understand or you don't want to look at the situation because it's so bad that you avoid it. That's typically what an addict will do. I wrote a post on this very situation tonight. And then you live in this state, I don't know. I don't know and I'm not sure. And then you'll reinforce your feelings in a checked out state. And this is what most of society uses. They use terms like kinda, K-I-N-D-A, and sorta, S-O-R-T-A. Usually in spelling, that's K-I-N-D hyphen A, and S-O-R-T hyphen A, kinda, sorta. And then guess also shows up frequently in mid-sentence in much of society's communication skills and style, meaning that in mid-sentence the word guess will be inserted, then a period will be at the end. It's also interesting to be attentive and listen to how many people say, I don't know, at the end of a sentence. I don't know. They finish a sentence by saying, I don't know, or they'll finish a sentence with another transitionary word that has no meaning. Anyway, I once coached a gentleman who that's how he ended every sentence I started pointing out to him so he could let go of that transition. Anyway, ending a sentence at anyway, or I don't know. What does that mean to your unconscious when you end a sentence it sounds like a period with I don't know? It means it de-edifies everything you just stated, and it keeps you in an overwhelmed, unsure, I'm not sure state. My whole childhood is a blur. Now, I've heard this a few thousand times. I don't remember anything up to 7, 8, or 9, and I've actually asked my clients, where'd you go to grade school? What was the name of your dog when you were a small boy or a small girl? Did you have an animal? Did you have a favorite pet? What was your pet's name? So once I start asking these questions, all of a sudden their memory starts to come back. Who's your third grade teacher? Who's someone you went to fourth grade with? Where did you go to grade school in the third grade, second grade, first grade? Where did you go to kindergarten? What was your kindergarten teacher's name? What year did you go to kindergarten? Do you remember getting on the bus? Was it pleasurable? Was it painful? What was kindergarten like? Do you remember laying down on the mat? Do you remember Play-Doh? This is how you start to remember your memory. But when you tell yourself that you don't remember anything. Now you've repressed your memory. Why does someone repress their memory? I don't know. It's a whole blur. I don't remember. I'm not sure. I don't know. How am I supposed to know? Well, you do know because you were there. Why don't you know is the question you want to ask, because these are details. Myself, I have spent hours going back, recalling, remembering events, joyous events, painful events, events that were events, events on top of events, very pleasurable experiences. And I've also collaborated with some of my friends to remember. Now, here's typically what many of my friends, my relatives will say to me: you have the greatest memory of anyone I've ever met. Actually, Ron White, who is my friend, Ron White, the memory expert, who won the world champion of memory on three different occasions. Ron memorized the Vietnam Wall and can recite it forwards and backwards. Ron has been on this call a few times. Ron has great memory products, and Ron will tell you the same thing, that memory is a detail skill. How do you remember names? I listen, and I store them. I have a file for them. I file names. How do you remember all the area codes? Repetition and experience. I remember area codes and pay attention to them. 502 is Kentucky, 305 is Florida, 561 is Florida, 818 is California, 907 is Alabama, or I'm sorry, 907 is Alaska, Alabama is 205, Hawaii is 808. Then I can give you practically every area code in every city. There's only a few states that have one area code. Wyoming would be 1307, Montana would be 1406. What year did Lou Gehrig die? Lou Gehrig died in 1941. What year did he give the speech? I feel the luckiest man alive, 1939. And, I mean, these are just major details. When was the curse of the Bambino? 1918. Babe Ruth was traded from the Boston Red Sox to the New York Yankees, which also creates the great rivalry of Boston versus New York. What year would the Mets come into existence? 1962. What's the Mets mean? Metropolitans, of course. Who's their first manager? Well, of course, it was Casey Stengel. Who's the first baseman for the Mets in 1962? That was Ed Cranepool. Who's their catcher? That guy's name was Choo Choo Coleman. Who's the third baseman? Rod Kneale. Of course. Why don't you remember this? Who was their second baseman? A guy named Pumpsy Green. I can name the 1969 Cubs starting lineup, forward and backwards. Catcher was Randy Hundley, third baseman Ron Santo. I'm not even a Cubs fan. Don Kechinger, shortstop Glenn Beckert, second base, first baseman was Ernie Banks, Billy Williams, center fielder Adolfo Phillips, left fielder Jimmy Qualls, the right fielder. Bill Hans was the right-hand pitcher. Ferguson Jenkins was the second pitcher. I mean, this is simple, isn't it? I mean, you could do this, couldn't you? Now, you can tell I have a great memory, but I've enhanced it. All of you could do this. For me, it's innate, plus memory is fun. For me, I love details. I used to play a 162-game baseball schedule with a baseball game with dice called Strat-O-Matic. I kept score for all 162 games of the 1969 St. Louis Cardinals. I did this for four consecutive years as a small boy. I played 162 game for the entire National League, kept statistics, kept score. I'm a detailed person. Yes, I'm analytical. I'm also emotional. It's a great combination. It makes me a maven. You could do this too if you would actually be attentive. What does attention mean? It's not something you buy. It's not something you pay for. It's a skill. I am attentive. Start to practice attention. You can practice attention tonight. Go out on your deck. Go outside for a walk. Listen to the sounds you hear. Listen to crickets. Listen to dogs bark. See if you hear a cat meow, cars driving by, sounds of a radio, sounds of music. Listen to the sounds of nature. Hear what's going on. Spend a few quiet moments. Sit down on the grass. Sit down on the concrete. Sit down anywhere. Sit down in a chair. Breathe. Take deep, long breaths. Let go of any anxiety that brought you into today. You cannot be attentive when you're overwhelmed, when you're in an overwhelmed neurological state, or you're in anger, guilt, resentment, shame, abandonment, rejection, overwhelmed feelings, or hate. It's going to be very challenging for you to be attentive. It means you're distracted. And if you easily get distracted, then you can't be attentive. You also want to be attentive in each ear. So if you're in an airport, you're so relaxed, you can hear a conversation in your left ear, you can hear a conversation in your right ear, you can hear a conversation in both ears as you lean forward. Also, when you're communicating with people, lean in a little. If you're right-handed, tilt your head just a little, because that's going to be your left ear, which is your left brain. That's your intelligent side. That's where that's where you start to enhance your ability to listen. Because typically, your left foot is your plant foot if you're right-handed, so that's why you should also move your body forward just a little. Your torso should be about an inch forward of your pelvis or your hips, and you also tilt your head just a little. Now your body's in your energetically, you've had a little momentum. Your head is turned just a side bit there. Now you can effectively hear what's meant, not what's said. And this is so important when you are communicating with someone. If you are qualifying someone for your time, listening is a key skill, so you can hear what's said, not what's meant. Yeah, Y-E-H, I'll get back to you. Spell it out, Y-E-H. What does yeah mean? Yeah doesn't mean anything. Look it up in the dictionary. Yeah does not mean yes. Yeah is slang that doesn't really have a meaning. It does not mean yes. Now, when you're attentive and someone goes, yeah, I'll get back to you, you go, Joe, when will you be getting back to me? Now, that's a reflex based on your ability to be attentive. When you're being attentive, it creates a whole different level of awareness. And in that awareness, you hear the twig snap in the forest. You see the parking space coming up. You watch the car back out. That car was backing out because you were on the way. It was all timed perfectly in the universe. You missed the traffic light, so you'd make this parking space. I mean, this is the law of alignment. When you start to live, it will be enough, because you don't live in a place called plenty. You live in a place called scarcity. When you're in scarcity, you're in a poverty consciousness. You're going to be overwhelmed with money, worried about an entity that doesn't worry about you. If you worry about money, what is the value you get by worrying about money? None. Here's what it does. It keeps you not attentive, keeps you overwhelmed, unorganized, undisciplined. It affects the way you sleep, and you're not effective at resting, and it keeps you tossing and turning. You wake up with a subluxation on C1 and C2 in the non-dominant side of your body, typically, if you're right-handed, on the left top of your neck, which then affects the rib head behind your shoulder and your low back, where your money bone is. So your low back represents your money, so if you have low back problems, it's usually a direct reflection of your anxiety or dialogue with money that keeps you not attentive in an overwhelmed state, so you continue to perpetuate the same set of feelings so you can be and stay disappointed. Yes, that is very exhausting to live like that. Do you realize that your body operates much better in a relaxed state than it is when your back's against the wall? Now, that's a cliche that many people say. I perform my best when my back's against the wall. I like to wait till the last minute to study. Really? Why would you want to do that? That's not the operative way to do it. That's a conditioned behavior, and a belief means a sense of certainty that really does not empower and or serve you. As you start to move into attention and you start to master the skills of attention, here's how you can become an attention master, or mastery of attention means you become a very acute listener. You practice your listening skills one day at a time through repetition and experience. You let go of sounds like, uh-huh, okay, yeah, and sure. You use different words. I receive, I understand, I'm hearing you, I'm listening, I'm receiving that, I understand. Not I get it. Get it are two prepositions that mean nothing. Do your best to say I understand. When you're understanding, now you're receiving, and I receive your message. I understand. I'm feeling it. I feel you. I like to use that term, I feel you, I'm feeling you, I'm feeling it. It means it's emotional. You understand that. You understand. You're receiving. When you understand, you're integrating. When you can't change unless you integrate change. Change has to be more than conceptual. Change has to be a reality. So this is what many people do. Like, I'll recommend the book Power Versus Force. I'll recommend the book Breaking the Habit of Being Yourself. These happen to be, from my perspective, two of the greatest books ever written. I'll say them again. Power Versus Force, by unequivocally my favorite author, David Hawkins, followed in a close second or first, whichever day it is for me. That would be the great Dr. Joe Dispenza, Breaking the Habit of Being Yourself, with these two books. But these aren't books you read. These are books that you're attentive. These are books that you integrate. These are books that you receive innate content that you put into practical application that you turn into a result. Now, here's what happens. The average person that I refer these books to that are my client. Now, my clients aren't average, but oftentimes they will stay average because of how checked out they are. So the average person will read these books, then get back to me and go, well, I read that book. It was just too complicated. That means you didn't receive it. That means you were so overwhelmed, and you got hung up on the big words. I had someone say to me, oh, my God, those big words. Neuroscience is not a big word. Neuroscience is two words, and they're not big. They're two different words. Neuro is a short word. Science is a typical word. You've been saying the word science for much of your life. You took science class. Remember that? So when you look at an obstacle and create, when you look at a situation and create an obstacle out of it, that becomes an emotional block. Well, that book was too complicated. Of course it was, because you're so unattentive, you're not able to integrate it. And many of you are so connected to reading the book left to right that you can't look at the table of contents and pick a great chapter that will give you immediate gratification and trust your feelings. Go, wow, that's a great chapter. I'm going to read that tonight. Because some of you will feel guilty if you don't read it from front to back. That's the way the educational system taught you to be able to take a loan that you don't really understand. And this is the same situation. Most of society doesn't understand money because they believe it to be complicated, and most of society doesn't understand how to let go of an addiction because they perceive it to be complicated. So if your brain sees a situation that's complicated, it will avoid it, not being attentive. To be able to let go of an addiction starts with being able to say, I'm done. I am so done with this that the pain is great enough, and I'm going to be able to be in this state one day at a time. You don't overwhelm yourself by how you're going to stay sober next month or next week. I addressed cigarettes with someone recently, and they go, what am I going to do when my urge to smoke comes up? Well, since your urge to smoke isn't now, you don't focus on the future because you'll get overwhelmed before you even get there. You be here and you be now. And so I asked this young woman, I said, can you go to bed tonight without smoking? She goes, sure. I said, is that yes? Now, because my attention is at a very high state of transmutation, so when she said sure, I picked up on it, knowing that sure is not a yes. So then I asked for a yes because I'm attentive. So when you start to ask for yeses in a conversation, now you're asking for commitments. This is a detail. And so when you start to prospect in a very detailed, methodical, systematic, relaxed process, and you start to hear what's meant, not what's said, then you hear people that don't commit, then you ask for a commitment with a reflex. This is how it all comes together. Yes, this is good. Isn't this is really good content. You cannot be a master closer unless you're detail conscious, because you engage in a conversation. What most people do is they're hung up on right. I got to say the right questions. I got to say the right thing. It's completely ass backwards of the reality. In reality, you engage in a conversation. You read the situation for what it is. You're playing poker with your adversary, your opponent, your constituent, your future client, your future business partner, because none of that has happened yet. So in the early stages of the conversation, you're gauging the situation to see if there's any warmth, to see if there's a problem you can resolve. You're looking to see if there's any situation that would be favorable for you. You're looking for a way to connect with the person. You're looking for the details. As you begin to become aware of cause and effect, why people do what they do, you'll no longer be the mind-body connection to the events that shaped your anxieties, so that you will feel disappointed in the conversation. And when you prejudge a situation, meaning you have a story in your head, so that you can be and stay disappointed, you cannot be effective. You want to learn how to be effective in your communication style, not say the right thing. And this is where so many people get hung out to dry on this. They had a passive-aggressive person in their circle of influence. That person was about being right and being wrong, and you can't do anything right. When you can't do anything right, then obviously you're going to do things wrong. And when doing things wrong is your identity, now you have anxiety about doing them right, and now you avoid doing situations to not be wrong because you can't be right. This keeps so many people overwhelmed and checked out that they're not able to be emotionally available to be here and be now. As you begin to let go of the cause that creates the effect of your overwhelmed feelings, you're not overwhelmed because you're overwhelmed. You're overwhelmed because the events you grew up in or events that shaped your feelings have you in this situation. You don't over-obligate yourself because you're an over-obligator. You over-obligate yourself because you're guilty. You grew up in a situation situation. You had to take on multiple roles, and if you don't continue to take on these roles, then you're guilty. And when you live in this state, there's very little margin for peace, and there's very little margin for joy. If you're an addicted doaholic by doing and not being, then there's a high probability you'll operate in a low energy. You'll attract people to your reality who will disappoint you so you can be disappointed, and you'll have challenge ever creating a culture or creating a team. Most importantly, you have challenges letting go of the people who fail because it's not you that they fail, and you're not a failure because they fail. They fail because they're not detail conscious. They fail because they're not engaged, and they fail because they're not committed. When you're committed, now you can attract a few people who are committed. But until you're committed, you'll attract your reality, people of like mind to foster your disappointment. As you no longer the mind-body connection to disappointment, or you're not concerned with disappointing your parents, or you're not concerned with disappointing your teammates, constituents, people in your circle of influence, and you focus on the skill, your energy changes. When you live here and now and not so concerned about failing, why do so many people worry about failing? Well, I'll tell you what the real anxiety is typically about is how they're going to control success. When you let go of the control that keeps you in control of being out of your control, then you'll let go of the anxieties and you'll be much more detail conscious. When you engage in a conversation, if you're recruiting, prospecting, you have a benefit, feature, product, or service that you desire to market, you want to learn how to trial close. You trial close by asking questions early and often. You trial close early in the conversation by using questions like, how serious are you? How committed are you? And you gauge the answers by being attentive. And by being attentive, you hear what's meant. I sat next to on a plane from Charlotte, North Carolina, back in February on the Saturday of the weekend of the Super Bowl. Now, the Super Bowl is being played in San Francisco on Sunday, so I'm flying back to SFO, and I typically don't fly on American. I'm a United 2-million-mile flyer, but I'm sitting in first class on American next to a gentleman, and I'm paying attentive. He drinks 5 Jack Daniels and Coke and 2 Seagram 7 and Coke. That's a total of 7 ounces of bourbon in about a 5-hour flight. He eats dinner, he eats nuts, he eats ice cream, and he weighs about 300 pounds. I have a conversation with him. I find out he's a very successful business owner. He has owned multiple businesses. He's committed to starting his own network marketing company, as fate would have it. He's going to be in the service industry, specifically in cell phones, internet, situations like that. He's a very interesting fellow. He has no interest in what I do. I find this out very quickly. I interview him. I find out where he went to college, Vanderbilt University. I found out what year he graduated. I found out how many children he has. I found out how many divorces he's been through. He found out nothing about me. He had no interest. But he kept talking. I kept listening. I kept asking him questions, moving the conversation along. Plane trip goes very quickly. He didn't reject me. He wasn't interested. I mean, these are details. Let's see if you can do this in the next week. Start to be attentive to the details. Being attentive to the details around you will also assist you. Do fun with things. Remember license plates. When you see a custom license plate, remember it. Start to remember some of the cars you see. When you see a unique car this week, take a picture of it. Post it on Facebook. One of my clients today, Marissa Campbell, posted, it looked like a 1973 TR6. It must have been in Orange County, California. This is a rare car, top down. It was powder blue, California plates, black top. I paid attention to that. Detail conscious. Start to memorize your license plates. Start to practice your memory. Start to ask questions about situations and start to remember them. Now, if you start to write them down and look at them, that can also assist you. These are attention skills. Remember where people are from. Ask where they're from. Ask where they went to college. Ask what they've done for a career. This will allow you to become a much better people person. But when you automatically say, I don't have a good memory, I'm not good at details, now you've talked yourself out of ever being a skilled connector. You can't possibly connect without mastering the details. What is a beef on weck? Does anyone know what that means? Well, I'll tell you what it means. Weck is a type of bread. It's a salted bread, indigenous typically, that's a good word, indigenous, look it up, typically indigenous to Buffalo. So if you ever go to Buffalo and you go, I'd like a beef on Weck, Weck is a type of roll, W-E-C-H-T. It's a salted roll. Beef is typically shaved prime rib, and it comes with au jus. It's sort of a French dip, so if you ever ask for a beef on Weck, then you will know what that means. Now, do you know where the home of Buffalo Wings is? I just so happens I've been there. It's in downtown Buffalo. It's called Anchor Bar. Do you know when the restaurant Ilio de Palos was established? I do. It was in the 50s. Specifically, the year would be about 52. I say about because I'm not certain, but after this call, I'm going to look it up and remember it. I know the owner's son, the owner is deceased, and I know that they sell dressings there because I've bought them. As always, on a Friday night, they have chicken parm and minestrone. I mean, these are details. Start to remember situations that you are from your past. Who's your fourth grade teacher? Now, do this in sequence. Who's your kindergarten teacher, your second grade teacher, your third grade teacher, your fourth grade teacher, fifth grade teacher, sixth grade teacher? See if you can remember any of those. Then ask yourself this. Who was my favorite teacher in high school, grade school? My favorite teacher was a woman named Mrs. Sharpsburg. She was attractive, but most interesting enough, she had a 1969 orange Corvette, Mako Shark model, and she had she put her teeth over her front lip. I remember it. She taught junior high social studies. I asked her where she went to college. I know where she went to college. She went to my alma mater. I do not remember where she's from originally, but I'm going to ask my parents some of the details. Now, why do I do this? Because I'm interested. So when you're interesting and you're interested, now you have a lot of facts, a lot of details. So when you sit down to write and compose, you become a person of influence and affluence. You know a lot about a lot. Now, if you ever dine with me, you will see that I know many of the waiters, waitresses, bus people, maitre d's, owners of restaurants, and because I pay attention to detail, I remember their names, and when I call and make reservations, then I make sure that I introduce myself to them. I also will sometimes write their names down on the back of a business card, the people that I met, for a purpose of recall, so when I go back there, I can ask for them, and it impresses people and impresses upon them that you cared enough to remember them. It's going the extra yard. Now, this starts to compound when you do this over time, because now you start to become a person of influence and affluence. Now, I am going to go to Albany this Friday. I'm going to have dinner with Frank Pecoraro at a place called Johnny's in Schenectady. Now, I don't know the maitre d' yet, but I will when I get there. But I do know this. When I go back to Newark Saturday night, my driver, Sonny, who works for Samsung Limousine Service, Sonny's been my limo driver for several years. Sonny always knows he's going to get a couple hun from me, a couple bends. He's going to get 100 on the way, 100 on the way back, plus the tip the company charges me. He's great service, and I love to tip Sonny. But I also know when I get to the Marriott Airport, I'm going to call a guy named Frank. I have Frank's cell phone. Frank is the bus driver in the morning at 3 o'clock that takes me to the airport right across the street from the Newark Airport to the United door, and I always tip Frank 20. I have his cell phone. How do I get his cell phone number? I ask for him. And I also have the SkyCap in Orlando's butler. Ray's phone number is the 407 prefix. So when I go to Orlando, I call Ray in advance, say, Ray, I'm going to be coming in Sunday morning, and could you have my ticket and my bag tag ready for me? Orlando is the earliest place you can cross over into security in the morning for a 6 o'clock flight. How do I know these? Because I know the details. One of the most interesting airports in America is Orlando. Orlando actually has an Hyatt Regency inside the terminal, meaning you can stay in the Hyatt and you're actually in the terminal. Cleveland has a hotel that you can walk right across the street to. Philadelphia has a hotel, the Marriott, that you have to go outside about 20 yards and you're in United's terminal and, voila, you're right across security right there. Now, these are details. I'm a professional flyer. I know a lot of the rules, regulations of flying. I know how to upgrade at all times. I have cards for all of the hotels I stay in. I know how to upgrade and get free rooms. These are details. Now, how could you do this? By being detail conscious. Oh, my God, I'm overwhelmed listening to you. No, you were overwhelmed before you listened to me. If you said you're overwhelmed listening to me, that's because you've been overwhelmed your whole life. If what I'm saying to you impresses upon you and you're impressed with my ability to have details, then that means that you could do the same situation. It is a skill. For me, it is innate. It is fun. I do enjoy it. I am organized. I am detailed. And here's something I'm going to tell you right now. Of the millionaires that I have interviewed, practically every single one of them that makes over $1 million a year, not all of them, most of them are very detail conscious, most of them are very systematic, organized, details, and live in routines and are structured, and they make their beds. They typically have a great money consciousness, not all of them, but most of the people that I've interviewed, especially the ones that I spent quality time with, understand the inner game of money. They don't waste a lot of their money on interest. They get a greater return on their money than most of society because they're detailed conscious. They take a look at stock reports. They understand money. They look at details. They have more than one broker. They understand their taxes. They understand if they're a millionaire that they're in a 40 to a 44% tax bracket. This whole theory that the rich don't pay taxes is ridiculous, because you're going to pay, if you achieve over seven figures in a calendar year, you're going to pay somewhere between 40 to 44. One of the first things you want to do, the details tonight, take a look at your money. Get really aware and conscious about how much of your money goes to interest. Look how much of your money goes out the door. Look how much of your money goes to taxes. Get a good handle on your mortgage. This is simple arithmetic. If you take a 30-year loan, that's 360 months. If you're paying $1,000 a month on your house at 360 months, well, do the arithmetic. If your condo, you paid 100 grand on it, you're paying 1,000 a month, 360 months, you're going to pay $360,000 on a $100,000 property that will probably not appreciate at that value. It will probably depreciate. So you have to factor that. Also, this is very common. The average person, as they start to accrue some asset in a property, typically takes what they perceive to be an asset out. And it's not really an asset because it's a front-loaded loan to begin with. It means that for the first 7 years, all you've paid is interest on it. You should never buy a property unless you have 20% down and get a 15-year loan. Or if you can't get a 15-year loan, you refinance ASAP as soon as possible. If you want to understand the mortgage industry and you live on the East Coast, get a hold of my friend and good colleague and good buddy, Charlie Letizia. Charlie, C-H-A-R-L-Y, L-E-T-T-I-Z-A. Now, don't call Charlie up for advice. Call Charlie up because you want the best loan. You want the best mortgage. You want to understand the title business. So that's a plug for him. And I'm going to be having dinner with Charlie this Saturday night at one of my favorite restaurants in New Jersey, Da Benito. And when I go in there, here's what's going to happen. When I walk in the door, the hostess is going to say, "Oh, Mr. Combs, how are you?" She's an accent. She's going to say, "Mr. Combs, good to see you." They're going to take me to the table that I've already requested, and the waiter named Doc, who is from Yugoslavia, who's worked at that restaurant for 9 years, is going to wait on me. The chef is going to come out, and he's going to say, "Mr. Combs, good to see you," and he's going to give me a free appetizer like he always does. The assistant maitre d' is going to come over and say hello to me. Now, the reason all this is going to happen, because it's done. It's done before it started, because it's predictable, unpredictable. I've already set this up. These are details. What would happen if you could live in relaxed routines and have people do this with you? If you were such a connector that you had these kind of connections everywhere you went, because that's the kind of person you are. That means you'd be a person of influence and affluence. And when you leave this earth plane, people are going, "Oh, my God, that guy was a great guy. He really took care of us." Or people are going to say, "Oh, that guy, he brought it all." Or do you want people to say, "That poor stiff died the greatest pain, the pain of regret. Poor Charlie. Poor Charlie. God, Charlie had a lot of talent. Too bad he never got around to use it." You know, Charlie once had a great house. unfortunately, that house went into foreclosure. I mean, Charlie just couldn't quite get it together in his life. Do you want that to be that? No, you want to let go of being checked out. You want to be aware and attentive. You want to become an exceptional listener. You want to hear what's meant, not said. You want to live in a heightened state of awareness, constantly raising your awareness. It's details and becoming detail conscious. You're also learning to hear, listen, and trust. And all of a sudden, your attractor factor changes. You become production conscious, not avoiding production. And you start to master the inner game of attention by being attentive. Now, if anything I've stated tonight resonates with you or connected with you, and you want to connect with me, you can contact me directly at 209-932-0227. That is my direct line, and I do answer it. That is a detail. If you call me, I answer quickly or I return phone calls quickly. I pride myself on that. That is a detail. If you leave a message on my 800 number, I check it frequently. That is a detail. If you send me a message on Facebook, I'm going to send a message right back to you relatively quickly. If you email me, jeff@goldenmastermind.com, I will email you back directly because I return my messages. I do not let situations compound and get and stay overwhelmed. Once again, my direct number, 209-932-0227. You can also connect with me via Facebook. If you are seeking a free 15-minute coaching session so you can become more detail conscious, be attentive, learn to master the inner game and the emotional state of being in the present, and you want to be more aware, contact me on Facebook with your phone number and the reason you want a 15-minute coaching session. I will grant that with you immediately. This Saturday, I will be in Albany, New York with Frank Pecoraro. Next Saturday, I will be in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania with another one of my Pisons, Joe Bianca. I look forward to connecting with you. Many of you just are coming back from some of your company conventions, or you're going to some of your company conventions this late summer, this fall, and here's something that you really want to be attention to. You want to take your game to the next level. Take your game to the next level. My name, once again, Jeffrey Combs. Have an outstanding evening. 209-932-0227. Have a great week, everyone.